Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the presence of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We thank you for another opportunity to hear your word and to speak your word. Now I pray, Lord Jesus, let the Holy Spirit adorn this message with his anointing. And let him adorn our hearts also with revelation and understanding of the word of the Lord. And let the name of the Lord be magnified. And as always, we know, Lord, that the entrance of your word is predicted in the Bible to bring light. Now let that light shine in our hearts this morning to the glory of your name. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus if you love the Lord here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I will be preaching this morning on where your treasure is. And then there is a subtitle for that. There will your heart be also. So, that's what I'll be speaking on this morning. And I'm going to read, you know, I believe the Lord's going to speak to us. It's going to be an interesting message. So you pay attention. You've heard that scripture before. It's not new to most people. But let's see what the Lord has to say about it. So I'm going to start here. The text may be found in two places in the Bible. This, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Maybe found in a couple of places, you know, in the Bible. At least two of those places I will read this morning. And then I will read some other scriptures and I will bring a message that the Lord gave me to speak to the church here this morning. So let's start here in Matthew chapter 6. And I am going to start at verse 19 of Matthew 6. And here is what Jesus said. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust, you know, moth doth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that's verse 21, there your heart will be also. So you know the text for the message is taken from that verse, where your treasure is. Now there's also a similar scripture, a different rendition of sorts, in Luke chapter 12. Let me read that briefly. Luke chapter 12, let me start from verse 32. But I like this scripture because it talks about many things. But I don't want to read all of it. You can read it later on your own. You know, even in this scripture, it talks about the ravens and all of that that we just talked about from last week, from verse 24. You know, consider the ravens, and they do this and they don't do that and so on. God feeds them. How much more are you better? And all that. So it talks about even the lilies of the field and all so on. And he said, look, if God clothes this grass, verse 28, if God so clothed the grass, which is one day in the field and the next day is cast into the fire, you know, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And I noticed that in this verse, or in this text, in two verses, while Jesus is talking about this, it's in verse 22 and it's also in verse 29. He's talking about, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or for your body, what you shall put on. He says that in Luke 12 and 22. He also says the same thing in Luke 12 and 29. Seek ye not what you shall eat, what you should drink. I mean, it's just a few minutes apart, and he's saying it's almost the same thing again. You don't think about what you're going to wear. Some people spend their whole time thinking about what they're going to wear, how they're going to look. I mean, that may be good, all right, but not if you neglect the inner man. Amen? Yeah. Amen, folks? Yeah. You should be thinking about how your inner man, what's he going to put on today? Put on, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. And you should be thinking about that, you know. But what is he bringing out here? He's saying, well, you know, he's not telling us not to think about the future or even plan about the future. That would be reckless. You know, that would be reckless if you don't think and if you don't plan for the future. And we have examples in the Bible, the story of Joseph, in Egypt and the dream of Pharaoh and all of that, the 7 lean years and 7 fat years, those are the best, that's one of the best examples of planning for the future. So we know the Bible does say that we should plan, but what he's talking about here is don't be obsessed with worrying. Some people are just worried, they worry themselves sick. You know, this is not happening. You know, what am I going to do? What am I not going to do? And so on and so forth. You know, you should plan. But listen to what he says in verse 29. You know, he says, look, do not be of doubtful mind. Don't be of doubtful mind. You need to believe that God is able to take care of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that goes with the message that we have been talking about from last week. Now, for all these things, I'm going to my own message now. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. But your Father knoweth that you have these needs of these things. He will, you know, God already knows what you need and so forth. But seek ye rather the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, that's easy for those of us who are a little bit older to say. You know, but I notice that the younger generation, they are so engrossed with running after their jobs and their this and their that and trying to establish themselves. And that's all right. You know, we did that too. I mean, I did that. You know, Bible says, you know, it is good for, you know, a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You know, so we understand that. But don't you leave the Lord out of your life. Amen. Let the kingdom of God and the things of God, let them take priority. Now, how does the other side take priority? How do you know when the other side takes priority over your life? That's why I asked us the question in the beginning. Why do you come to church and so forth? Some people don't even think about coming to church. Now, when everything else is more important to you than the time for church. When it's time for church, that's when you want to go to work. And when you want to do this and when you want to do that and so forth. And some people have even businesses. We understand that. Some people have jobs, you know, that they are scheduled to work on Sundays and so forth. We understand that. But, you know, God knows where your heart is at, you know. And, I'd rather go to church than work and get overtime. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, we've all been through that. But I know it's a lot easier for me now, by the grace of God. It's a testimony. It's a lot easier for me now. Because back in the days, maybe when I was in my 30s, maybe I was running after those things also. I don't know. But today, you know, you can't pay me enough to work on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. But I got to be at church. Praise the Lord. Those people that I work for, they know that. You know, I actually work. I'm on, you know, my job is 24/7. I had to sign that contract when I hired on. That is 24/7. That means you can be there all the time. They can call you anytime. But, you know, I said, well, it's 24/7, but on Sunday morning, I'm going to church. You can call the next person down the line. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Why? Because, well, I'm coming to the message now. Listen to this. He said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, and down here in verse 33, the second part, but I'll read all of it. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves things, you know, bags which wax not, old, a treasure in the heavens, you know, that faileth not, where no thief can break in or moth corrupt, for where your treasure is, and he says the same thing again, there your heart will be also. Now, I am going to key in on that. You know, what is a treasure? And what does it mean where your treasure is and there your heart will be also? Now, I want you to pay attention as I go through this. Because we may all learn one thing or the other this morning, and I'm praying that we will. So let me talk about why, you know, some people may not count the things of God as important, and why others may count it as more important. Well, it's all about treasure and priorities. Now, let me put it to you this way. A treasure is something that we consider to be of great value. Would you agree? A treasure is something that is evidently held to a high esteem or high value. And it's something sometimes of tremendous value. You know, let's look at some examples of what treasure might be. You can look it up in your dictionary if you want later on. A treasure might be wealth. It might be riches. It might be precious metals. It might be jewels. I mean, it might be etc. You know, your treasure. You know, some people have a treasure chest at home. I put their little, you know, things, you know, diamonds and various things. Some people put their treasures in a safety deposit box in the bank. And so on and so forth. Now, those are physical treasures, metals, and so forth that we, you know, we can. But a treasure is also anything that is of, I mean, greatly valued or highly prized in our mind. That's also a treasure. Doesn't physically have to be gold or my jewelry or my gold watch or this and that. Those could be treasures. But it's also anything that you value highly. People actually use the word treasure either as a noun or a verb. You can say, I really treasure that. Or, you know, it can be a treasure. You know, so when something is highly treasured, it's something that people, you know, really think it's of value. Now, how much value do you place on coming to service or worshiping or going to the house of the Lord or reading the Bible or spending time in prayer and all of these things? Well, maybe those things are not treasures to you. Maybe it's more of a treasure for you to get the paycheck at the end of the payday. You know, that's good. Or maybe some other things. So, you know, the Bible says, examine your heart, whether you be in the faith. You know, so here's a little checkpoint here, message this morning. Let's check it out. Let's check ourselves out, see where exactly we stand in these things. Now, but I also want to talk about, I'm going to also bring various aspects of this message. That's one aspect, is what are you, you know, what do things mean to you? You know, I mean, what is spending time in the presence of God mean to you? Is it a treasure? Is it something you treasure? Is it something you really want to do? Or is it just one of those things? So that's one way of looking at it. Now, another thing that we should consider is what Jesus is actually saying here. He's saying, look, the only way, now this is what Jesus is saying. Now pay attention to this, because there are many punchlines that I am going to give in this message. This is one of the punchlines. One thing that Jesus is saying here is that the only way for you to have real treasure with God is to make your deposit in the bank of heaven. Amen. Now, remember I said that people actually put the, you know, you can go buy a safety deposit box in a bank and put all those things and so on, you know, but Jesus is saying, look, don't, that thing can be corrupted, fire can break out, something can happen, you can put money under your pillow, you know, some people do that in third world countries or whatever, I don't know. You can do this, you can do that, you know, anything can happen, you can lose those things, you know, and you can also put money in some here and there and so forth, and you can lose it. You can even put money in investments, which are good to do, and you can still lose that. You know, a few years ago, the real estate was, you know, somehow, you know, the real estate boom, and everybody put, and all of a sudden the thing went flat, and a lot of people lost their homes, lost a lot of things, and so forth. So, you know, people can put money, you can put money into this, you can put money into that, but you can lose it all. But Jesus is saying, look, the only way that you are really going to get to keep it is to put it somewhere where a thief cannot steal, it cannot crash, economy cannot crash it, and all of these things can happen, and it cannot be corrupted. You know, if you keep your currency bill long enough, you know, it may wear out, you know, and look dirty and ugly. But Jesus is saying that there's a place where you can put all of that, and it will always be new. Amen. Put it into the bank of heaven. How do you do that? Well, let's figure that out. You know, he said, look, but why is the reason why he says that? And he says this strange thing here, which nobody ever said before he said it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, you know, well, you know, well, I mean, that's a strange thing to say. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Well, let me put it to you this way. You know, if you're an investing man or person, and you decide to invest in company ABC and buy some of their shares, well, before you invested in company ABC to buy their shares, you probably, you know, well, You know, maybe you didn't care whether their shares were up or down. You probably didn't care. You know, but when you wanted to invest, you probably start to look to see if they're, you know, a good company to invest in, if you're smart. And then when you invest, then you really have to watch the news. Now you're concerned, you know, and then you know, when they say something about company ABC doing this or not doing well, that you really care about it now because your treasure is there. Amen? Because you invested money into it, now all of a sudden, you know, you are concerned about it and so forth. Now it's the same thing and anything that we invest time and money and things in and so forth. Parents invest money and time and effort into raising their children, send them to school, training them in and sports so they can get good training, good scholarships and so forth, you know, and all of that. And that, you know, they expect some returns. You know, their treasure is there, their heart is in the thing, and they're looking over their children to make sure that they succeed. Well, Jesus also, there's a flip side of that story, but I'm coming to many sides of this story. Jesus also, he put some investment in us. Hallelujah. A lot of investment. So his heart is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That's a different side of that also, you know, because, you know, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was talking about the parables of the kingdom. And he said, look, the kingdom of God is like a man that found a treasure in a field. And he went and sold everything that he had in order to purchase that treasure. Now, of course, you know, that treasure is ours. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the one that did everything. He left everything in order to get that gold. And he got it. Praise the Lord. And that's why we are sitting here today. And because he got it, because he put so much investment, that's why his heart is with us. That's why he's watching over us. That's why he always cares about us. Praise the Lord. So that's one way of looking at that. But let me get back to the other part of this message. When we put great esteem on something, when we treasure something very highly and so forth, well, it may not be treasured by God at all. The things that we treasure may not be treasured by God at all. Are you still with me, folks? And is there a scripture for that? Absolutely. In the book of Luke chapter 16, turn with me to verse 15 of Luke chapter 16. And let us see what the Lord has to say about that. Now, there's nothing wrong with having treasure. There's nothing wrong with having valuables and so forth. If the Lord bless you with it, you know, that's great. You know, but, you know, sometimes the things that people treasure, the things that people esteem, you know, sometimes they are not even anything to God. In fact, they are repulsive. Abomination means repulsive in God's sight. Now, listen to this. He said unto them that ye are those who justify yourselves, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed or treasured or, you know, greatly prized, you know, in the sight of men, sometimes is an abomination in the sight of God. The only way for you to ensure that the very thing that you treasure is also a treasure in God's sight is to put it in God's hands. Amen. Because anything in God's hands becomes gold. I mean, it's even more than gold. I mean, it's just great. You know, he can take anything and he can turn it. He can beautify. He can take the dust of the earth and create man out of it. He can do all kinds of things. He is God. Hallelujah. So when you turn it over to him, then all of a sudden it becomes precious. That's what he says by, you know, you put it into his treasure. You put it into God. You put something. And you know, people should ought to have asked him, but they didn't. They should have asked him, well, but how do we put it into a place where thieves cannot break in and steal? If I was there, I would have asked him. Because I actually did. You know, where is the place that you put it that thieves don't steal? Where is the place that you put it that rust cannot happen and all of these things can say? And he said, put it in God's hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put it into the bank of heaven. And ask for that money. Where is the bank of heaven? Say, in my hands. Hallelujah. That's exactly what you do. You turn it over to him. Like that little boy that turned over his lunch, just 2 loaves and 5 fishes. And look at what he did with it. 5,000, 7,000, whatever he can do. He can turn that thing around. Because he is a great creator. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, so we must be careful. You know, when we value something so highly and so forth like that, you got to be sure that, one, it is something that God also values. Or otherwise, it may be an abomination sometimes in the eyesight of God and doesn't mean anything to God at all. You know, and he thinks that most of the time, people, you have to listen to, there is a message a few years back that we preached, that's on the website. You have to listen to it. It's called, despised and rejected of men, but chosen of God. You know, you have to listen to that message. It's a good one. You know, there is something that sometimes people think nothing about, but that's exactly what God will choose sometimes. You know, and then the things that people think so highly about, those are the things that God rejects most of the time. You know, so, you know, we have to find the balance. You know, so that's one part of this message. I'm trying to bring this message, you know, so it's balanced. But in this message also, I will be talking about another kind of treasure, you know, which is money. You know, I've talked about wealth. I mean, money can be wealth. You know, wealth can also be other things that, you know, are not money. Maybe money was used in order to acquire the wealth, but, you know, wealth is more than just money. Money is a part of wealth, you know. So, but let me also talk about money. You know, one time a man came to God, to the Lord, and said, well, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And all these things. He had great riches. And Jesus said, well, do this and do that. And he said, well, I've done all that since I was a young man. And Lord said, well, that's great. He said, but one thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And this man, he went so sorrowfully away. Well, we don't know whether he ever repented or anything. We don't know the rest of the story. But Jesus said, well, wow, how hardly it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the disciples said, Lord, what do you mean? I mean, are we supposed to be poor and so forth? So we shouldn't have riches? What are you talking about? And Jesus broke it down. He said, well, how hardly it is for them that trust in riches. For them that put their heart on riches. In fact, the Bible says, look, when riches increase, don't put your heart upon it. Because, you know, one day they just fly away. Amen? And then fly away, their people get depressed. Because their affection is not set on things that are above. You find that in Colossians chapter 3. The first three verses. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. The first three verses. Colossians 3. It will tell you that, look, and that goes right with this message of how do you put your affection? What are the things that you should treasure? If you there be reason with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. I tell you, anything that's in those kind of places, anything that's in the heavens, that's not the kind that thieves can break in and steal. That's not the kind that is going to corrupt or rust and so forth, you know, but that's the kind that, you know, you might look at it as being in the banks of heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, so one way to acquire real wealth is to give it away. Give it away to God. And that's the way that you really acquire. But this man, you know, so Jesus, he saw that this man, you know, was not like that. You know, his affection was on his riches. And Jesus was telling him this similar thing. You don't worry about that. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And the man was very sad because he had great riches. So he went away sorrowful. Now, whether he had money or not was not the issue. But the issue was his attitude towards his wealth. His wealth was controlling and driving him. The things, you know, he was channeled on the things, you know, how to make money, how to get a job. You know, he already had riches. I'm talking about us now. You know, some of us, you know, were so channeled on this. You know, I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, and so forth. Now, those things are good. We got to do those things. Because, in fact, the Bible says if we don't work, then you should not eat. You know, so I got to pay my bills. Praise the Lord. But I must not be consumed with the thought of paying my bills to the extent where it makes me to neglect fellowship, neglect the house of God, neglect the time of prayer, neglect my personal consecration with God and so forth. And I'm just consumed with running after all these things. You know, that the Bible says, look, that's what all the nations of the world are running after. But you should not be of doubtful mind. You should know that the Lord is able to take care of your needs. Praise ye the Lord. Now, let's take a look at something. You know, for many, many years that we have been in this church, maybe going to 9 years now, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, we preached. One time, and one time only, about 2 or so years ago, I preached a message on giving. We hadn't preached too much about it since then. In that message, I tried to bring about tithing, what is tithing, and whether it should be by revelation or by commandment. You have to listen to that on the message, on the website. And I proved in that message that tithing was not abolished for the New Testament, because Jesus said in Matthew 23 and 23, you tithe of this and you tithe of that and you tithe of that and you tithe of that. He said, well, those things you should have done, but you should not have neglected these other things which are of more value. No, he didn't say you shouldn't do those things. And we went through the history of tithing and what it was all about and so forth. But we also saw that it was rather for the church, it's rather by revelation and not by commandment. Why? Because Abraham, when he met Melchizedek in the book of Genesis and 14, he gave tithes before there was any commandment about anybody giving tithes. You know, why? How did he do that? He did it by revelation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He gave tithes of all to by revelation to Melchizedek. And, you know, the law that came many, 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 many years after could not abolish what came even before the law. So tithing was way before the law. So we know that and so forth like that. You know, and we know how the Lord did not totally dismiss it. He was just saying that people's attention are more focused on those things and they forget the weightier matters of the law. So we talked about that then. But we also know that in the New Testament, there is a difference. And that difference is explained here in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Let me just read, perhaps if I can find just one verse or so to read here in Hebrews chapter 9. You know, I'm going to read to you. You know, so one of the things that we find here that the Bible has to talk about is there is a difference. You know, there's a difference between how we give tithes in the New Testament versus how we did it or how they did it in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you know, they were commanded, you know, but in the New Testament, we give the tithes. And there is if you start to read from Hebrews chapter 7, you start to read about all of the stories of Melchizedek, who he really was, you know, and how God brought it about. Now I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 7. I said chapter 9, but I meant chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 here, I'm going to read verse 9. And as I may so say, that Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So we see that Levi paid tithes. Amen? Now, but we see that he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. You know, so that's how in the days of Levi and down through there, theirs was to pay the tithes. But ours, it's more of giving. It's not about paying. It's more because we are told that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. He didn't pay tithes because it wasn't an order. He gave tithes. But from Levi and all the other people, they pay tithes because they are commanded. So there's a difference between giving and paying. Now, Abraham, he did his own as a part of worship. He had come from a great slaughter of the kings. He got a great victory when he went out and did some things and so forth, you know, and, you know, he came back and out of worship, and he met this figure that, you know, represented himself as a priest of the Most High God. And so Abraham was really actually giving it to the priest, you know, so he said, wow, you know, it's a great thing. So he recognized that and he gave it and so on. So he gave, Abraham did. But from Levi downwards, they pay because that's the commandment. But over here in the New Testament, we go back We're no longer under the law. Now we give again, like Abraham did. Praise the Lord. You know, but if you are going to, and I mentioned this in that message also, if you are going to treasure your giving more than God, you know, then you've missed the point. You know, some people worry about, shall I give 10% or give this or give that? You know, you've missed the point. What is God really worth to you? Amen? What is he worth to you? You know, some people, you know, it's like, well, you know, gee, I can't give and so on. You know, I got all these bills. You know, I can't pay nothing. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, well, you know, whatever, you know, you treasure, that's where your heart will be also. So, you know, put too much treasure, too much, you know, on your money, your salary and so forth. That's where your heart will be. You'll be pursuing those things instead of pursuing the Lord. You know, you really won't be pursuing the Lord. You know, so, but let me get back to this message here and bring something out, which is important also. Talking about the value that we place on giving. Well, let me ask two questions. What value do you place on your giving? Whether you give it to God or give it to wherever. You know, but if you're giving it to God, what value do you place on it? That's one question. The second question is, keep the babies quiet, please. What value does God put on your giving? What value does God put on your giving? If you think of it this way, what value does God put on it? So let's look at a story that may help us to understand that. This story is in the book of Mark chapter 12. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. And there is a story here that I'm going to pick up from verse 41. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. And if I give you a subtitle for this story, you know, many of you will remember it. The subtitle for the story is The Widow's Mite. So now you remember the story. But in Mark chapter 12, I pick up this story at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. Remember, we're talking about treasure. Where's your treasure? So this is the place where people are putting, you know, money and so forth like that. Okay. Now, and he beheld how people cast their money into the treasury. And many of them that were rich, they cast out much. You know, they were rich, you know, they put a lot and so forth. They were ostentatious about their giving, you know, sounding a trumpet and doing all these things. Okay. And there came a certain widow, poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which combined together is equal to 1 farthing. I don't even know what that is. It's a very small amount. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they that were casting other people, that were casting to treasure. Why? You know, let's see the value that Jesus placed on the people's giving. The rich people that came and gave ostentatiously, you know, they did not, as far as the Lord was concerned, didn't give quite as much as this woman. This woman who gave, I don't know what the value of 2 mites is, maybe 1 penny or whatever it is, you know, the Lord said she gave more than all the rest of them. Why? And he explained it in verse 44. He said, for they did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living. That was what she had left. So the way that God values your giving, now listen to this, one of the punchlines again in this message. The way that God values your giving is not on the amount of what you are giving. Hello, folks. But it's really on what it costs you. Let me say that again. The way that God values your giving is not on the amount you gave, but what it actually costs you. That's why David said in 2 Samuel 24 and 24, I will not give anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. Are you still with me, folks? A lot of people give out of convenience. You know, some people might be able to give $100. Maybe it doesn't even mean anything to them. Maybe they have $1 million and they give $100, so it's nothing. Another person might give $2. And it may mean a lot because that's all they had. Are you still with me, folks? Somebody might be able to give thousands of dollars, and maybe it doesn't mean anything to them because they have hundreds of thousands of dollars, or maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, the other person may only give $25, but maybe it means a lot. Maybe that's what they would have used for their next, to buy their next gas, or buy their next food, or buy this, or buy that, and so forth. But they'd rather give it to the Lord. They'd rather put it in a treasury, you know, where it's not going to fail. And they put it in God's hands, and they trust in the Lord with it. And they're not of doubtful heart. They're believing that God can do something for them. You know, so, you know, that's another punchline in this message. For us to recognize that God does not value our giving by the amount that we give, but by the sacrifice that is behind that giving. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say amen, folks?
Amen.
The sacrifice that is behind the giving. And also the attitude that is behind the giving. I've already talked about the sacrifice. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 24. I want to make sure that we mark down these verses. And the one I just talked about, and then I'm going to talk about the, you know, the attitude that is in the giving, you know. So, in 2 Samuel 24:24, here's what he said. I will surely buy of you for a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. You know, so that was his attitude about, you know, doing something, giving something to God. He doesn't want anything for free. It's going to cost him something. He doesn't want to just give something to God that doesn't cost him anything. So that's the verse that I put there. I want to make sure you have that. The other thing that God is looking at is your attitude about giving. This is the way that God commands us to do it in Corinthians. We're told how to do it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're told in verses 6 and 7. How to do it and do it right. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? Look to your neighbor and say, a cheerful giver. Say, I am a cheerful giver. Are you? Ask your neighbor, are you a cheerful giver? Praise the Lord. Well, nobody up here to ask me that question. So I escaped that one. Now, he that soweth sparingly, I am going to, this is another punchline in this message. Now I'm going to reveal something here that is contrary to what a lot of people preach on television. Luke 6:38, and I'm going to come back to this verse in a minute. Luke 6:38 says, and people have used this to preach about giving and so on and so forth like that. You know, give for it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Hallelujah! Shall men give unto your bosom? Well, you know, that's wonderful. But you need to read the rest of it. And I want to read the rest of it to you today. And I want to say it to you this way, that here is what the scripture says. And that's only half the story. You must read the rest of it. And what does the rest of it say? For with the same measure that you mete out shall be measured back unto you. Are you still with me, folks? Hello, folks. Everybody is not there? Answer me so I can know that you are there. You know, Luke 6:38. You know, read it with me. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. I believe in running over. Amen. But I preached a message on the website called Running Over. I believe that everything that God does is in abundance. You know. But there's a principle behind this scripture. The principle is this. For with the same measure that you meet, shall it be measured to you again. Now, what they tell you though is that you should give $1 and God's going to give you $10,000. That is absolutely unscriptural. Hello, folks. It's not in the scripture. There's no principle for it. Now, God is able to bless it and to multiply it. You know, there's no question about that. That is scriptural. God is able to take a grain of corn that is just one and bless it and get a big harvest out of it. That's scriptural. But that's not the way that they preach it. The way they preach it is, you know, it doesn't matter what you give. You know, God's going to give you this abundance and so forth. No. The Bible said the same measure. And I want to preach about that measure. That measure, remember, 5 minutes ago, I said it's not the quantity. The measure here is not really quantity. It is the what it costs you. That's the way that God is going to bless it back to you. You know, if you gave abundance, but it didn't cost you anything anyway. I mean, if you, you know, because you could have given a whole bit more and didn't mean anything to you. It didn't even make a dent to you. It's not the same measure as the woman that gave two mites. Hallelujah. The measure that God is talking about is the cost, what it costs you. But some people want to just, you know, give sparingly and then reap abundantly. Now, that's not going to work. That's contrary to scripture. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's read it from verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. He says, "For this I say unto you, that he which soweth sparingly..." Now I've moved on to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. "He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." You cannot sow, you know, sparingly and expect to reap bountifully. That's not in the scriptures. That doesn't work, you know. Now, every man though, according as he proposes in his heart, and according as God has told him, and he knows with God and so forth, so let him give. Not grudgingly, and not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. Can you say amen? Now, not because, and you don't give to God because, you know, if I give to God, God's going to give to me and this, all of this. No, that's, we're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Giving is an act of worship. You know, Abraham wasn't looking for anything when he gave to Melchizedek. He was giving out of what God already done for me. I'm giving worship. Not, I'm not giving, I'm sowing to reap, and sowing to reap, and all of these things which people say, well, maybe that works and so forth, but you know, that's not the reason why we give to God. We give to God because he already gave him to us. Amen. He already gave his son. He already gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He already given us the ability to do great things for God. He already done so much for us, we could never repay him enough. Amen. And when you have that, you know, when you have that lifestyle of, you know, that mentality in your worship and your giving, it's not going to, you'll be looking at the numbers. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you had two mites, you'd give it. If you, you know, even if that was all you had. The woman that had the two mites, she gave it. And that's all she had. You know, so God loves a cheerful giver. You know, you should never give grudgingly. You shouldn't give out of necessity. Well, sometimes there is necessity. What does that really mean? Well, let me explain some necessities that we may have in the ministry. You heard where we said, you know, a few months ago that we're purchasing a building and so forth. That was a necessity. We're asking the people to give. But we're not going to put, you know, a baseball bat to your head, you know, and say you must do this, you must do that. We're still expecting people to ask the Lord and to check their finances and see what they can do for the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, but if you do for the Lord, well, you know, it's between you and God. You know, so, you know, now, do we have a need? Yes. So that's, I'm not talking of that. You know, what I'm talking about is necessity is you don't feel constrained that you must give. And don't feel constrained that you must give a certain amount. You know, I remember I was talking to, you know, somebody about our projects that we were doing and so forth like that. And he wanted to give so bad. He, you know, so badly. His heart was in it. You know, he said, well, you know, I'll do this, you know, but I want to do more, but I can only do this now. And he's stretching himself to, he wants to do so much more. And I said to him, I said, look, you only need to do what you can do. You don't need to kill yourself. If everybody else did their own part, then you wouldn't feel so much strain and burden. How many of you can say amen to that? That's right. And I said, don't worry about it, you know. And he was trying to give double what he really could because his heart was really in it. I said, don't worry about it. Don't kill yourself. Just give whatever you can. Praise the Lord. The Lord will take care of his business. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But having said that, does it mean we don't? No, we need help. But, you know, that's between you and the Lord. You know, but let me tell you something else, too, now that I'm on the subject. There are some people that don't give. as much as they could. And there are many reasons why people don't do that. Now, can you put up, I have something up there that says everybody. Can you put it up? Now, I'm going to tell you this story. And after this paragraph, you can read the next one. Put up the next one. There is a story about four people that are named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Put up the next part. Now, this is the story. Take a look at this. It's one of the punchlines in this message. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Like, you know, we're trying to buy a building, everybody contribute. Are you still with me, folks? Hello? So everybody was asked to do the important job. Now, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Now, these people, there are four of them. One of them is named everybody. The other one is named somebody. Another one is named anybody. And the last one is named nobody. So everybody was asked to do it. Now, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Now, somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Now, everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. Now, so it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Praise the Lord. It's a funny story, but, you know. But I want to tell you something. In this church, as small as it is, we have the best, the most wonderful givers. Hallelujah! From day one, we have had people that have stood behind this ministry and they have given so generously. You know, I read something about 3 years ago on the website, and I was going through some teachings. I mean, somebody's, you know, how to, maybe more than 3 years ago, how to build a church and so on. But later on, I discarded it because I saw that it was all about money. But in that thing, he was talking about, you know, the percentage of people that really give in the church. And I was shocked when he gave those percentages and those numbers. And I looked at it and it was true. No matter whether it's thousands of people in the church or just a few hundreds or a few tens, he gave one very small percentage. You know, and I said, wow, you know. And I look and I say, well, you know, but I thank God that we are blessed with some people that have been faithfully giving in this church. And I want to acknowledge those who have stood with the ministry and have been giving very well to the church. And we say, praise the Lord for that. Amen. But there may be some reasons why some people don't give. Now, this is a general message. Some people may not give because they're expecting somebody else to do it. That's what this message is talking about. You know, somebody is thinking that some, you know, everybody thinks that somebody is going to do it. You know, so when there's a job to do, they think somebody else is going to do it. And everybody waiting for somebody else to do it. Well, there's nobody else but you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if you keep waiting for somebody else to do it, it will be like this story. At the end, you know, nobody would do what anybody could have done. Because they thought everybody else would do it, but nobody would do it. So that's what this story is about. It's a good one, you know. So, and here's another one. Another interesting punchline. You know, there are some people that don't give. And I've heard this, not necessarily from this church. You know, I'm not talking. I'm just talking generally. But, I heard this from, you know, just everywhere. You know, some people go to, you know, people don't believe. Some people don't think that they should support their local church. Well, let me give you some news. You should support your local church. I mean, your home church. Praise the Lord. Now, for those who don't support their home church or think that they can go to their home church but give their money someplace else, let me tell you a story. It's like an anecdote, you know, like this one. It's anecdotal. It's like you go to your favorite cuisine or restaurant, whatever it is. And your favorite restaurant, they have this credit card. It's just for them. You can only use it at their restaurant. But at the end of the month, you can pay. You know. So, you sign up, you get it, and so forth. You go there, you eat every week, and you get, you know, and so on. You do this, you know, your favorite restaurant. And then when it comes time, now let's say the name of your favorite restaurant is ABC Restaurant. Now, when it comes time for you to pay, after eating all those wonderful meals from ABC, you send your check to XYZ Restaurant for all the meals that you ate at ABC Restaurant. Is there anybody in the world that does that? But believers do that. They do exactly that. You know, they go to church and they don't think that they need to support what they are doing in their local church and so forth. Thank God, not in this church, but it's a general message, you know, and so forth. But, you know, and then they say, well, you know, well, maybe somebody else will do it. Well, there's nobody else but you. Praise the Lord. But if you go to your favorite department store, you buy all the things you want, and then you say, when it's time to pay, you know, I'm going to go pay, you know, at another store chain that doesn't belong to you. It doesn't work that way. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So remember that. You know, we should all remember that. That's an interesting one also to remember. You know, why do I say these things? Well, because we are talking on the subject of where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Some people have misplaced their treasures. They've misplaced, what to do with, you know, their money and this and that and so forth. And then we're always, you know, wondering, should I give or should I not give? You should never feel compelled to give. You know, you ought to seek the Lord. You know what you want to do and so forth like that. But if you feel within, if you look at money and, you know, anything that the Lord puts in your heart to give, and you look at it and you think it's too much for you to give, then you've already missed the point. One young lady said to me one time, this is another part of the story. One young lady said to me one time, well, you know, they're not in this church and so forth, so don't be thinking. You know, they said to me, well, you know, when I become a millionaire, I'm going to give, and she gave some huge number to the Lord. And I just laughed. And I said, it will never happen. Praise the Lord. Not because you won't be a millionaire, but you will not give that huge number. Because if you have $10 now, and you cannot give $1, how are you going to give $100,000? Amen? You cannot give $100,000 when you have 1 million if you cannot give 1 out of 10. You know, and some people say that, well, you know, when I pay all my bills, then I'll give to the Lord. Well, you got it all wrong. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and so forth like that, you know, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase, not last fruits. Amen, folks? If you're going to give to the Lord, you better give him first fruit. Don't give him last fruits. Don't give him after 401k and 901z and tax and health plan and everything has already taken their own. Then you give the Lord out of the bottom. You give the Lord out of the top. It's the first fruits. That's what it's called. Even most people that give tithes, then they think they give their tithes 10%. They give out of their net instead of out of their gross. And you are wrong. If you're not going to give, don't give. But if you think you're giving 10%, you owe the Lord a lot of money. God showed this to me in 1986. And when I figured it out, you know, back then in 1986, I thought, well, you know, I have so much bills. I can pay, you know, I can't pay this. I'm going to scheme on my tithes. You know, and that's where, you know, a lot of believers, you know, you got to pay your bills. You got to pay your light bills. You got to pay your rent and so forth. But, the tithe, yeah, that's one area that I don't have to do. I'll just do that later. You know, we always think that. But I tell you something, well, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Go quiet in here. But it's the truth, folks. I got to tell you these things. But when I figured it out, and I went back by the grace of God, I paid all of my back tithes. Actually gave all of my back tithes. Because the Lord revealed it to me. He may not reveal it to you that way. You know, it's by revelation. Whatever God reveals to you, that's it. And I tell you, folks, well, since that time, when I figured it out, you know, I have never been in debt. Amen, folks? I have never lacked nothing. God has been faithful. Hallelujah! And I'm going to read you a story to close this up. You know, am I going to take up an offering today? No, not at all. Am I preaching this because I want to? No, not at all. I'm just preaching this for your benefit. You know, you give if you want. We take up an offering after service, but it's just a usual offering. Not anything special. You know, but if you want to give more, that's good too. We need it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why do we need it? Because a week from today, by the grace of God, we will own that new building. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Escrow on that new building closes on May 29th. That means actually on Friday we own that building. Well, by the grace of God, you know, we still need a lot of money to do it. But we know that God is the author and finisher. He never starts anything that he cannot finish. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I know about that and so forth. But, you know, don't think that somebody else is going to do it. there's nobody else, it's you. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For those who have given wonderfully, we thank you. And we've been praying over all those donations that have been coming in those green envelopes. We've been praying over them. We pray over all the other envelopes too and so forth all the time. But we pray especially over those green envelopes that have been coming in. But if you haven't done that, you know, we want you to get in on that. You ask the Lord what the Lord wants you to do and so forth like that. And then you do the best you can. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Now listen to this story. And we will be closing with this. In the book of 2 Chronicles. Now this is 2 Chronicles. And I believe the story might be in chapter 31. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. I will close with this story as an example of some people that responded to commandment to give. And I will start from verse 1 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 31. Now, this was the story of Hezekiah and so forth and some of the things that Hezekiah commanded. But let me skip some of it. Verse 2, Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and Levites and so on. And every man according to his service, the priest and all that and so forth, to give thanks and to give praise in the gates of the Lord. Now verse 3, and he appointed the king's portion and what people should give and all of that. He actually gave a levy. That's why, you know, levy comes from Levite. Anyway, they gave a levy and all of these things, you know, and they have to give so much, you know, of the burnt offerings, the morning and the evening, and all of these things, Sabbaths, the new moon, everything that is written in the book of the law. They had not been doing it, so he went and commanded that you guys need to go back and be doing all these things that was commanded us. Moreover, he commanded that the people that should do this and should do that, all of that. Now, I'm going to skip that to, let's go back to verse 8. I'm just going to skip that for sake of time. Now, when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, if you read the story, you see how the people began to prepare heaps after they got the commandment. You know, they went out and they began to put together, you know, offerings and so forth, just like Hezekiah commanded. So when Hezekiah came with the princes and said, what's all this stuff? you know, so listen to the answer that they gave him in verse 10. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since, that means from the time that the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, what happened? We have had enough to eat and have left plenty. Can you say amen? Amen. That's right. For the Lord has blessed his people. And that which is left is what you now see here. So from the day that they began to obey the commandment to give, we've had an abundance. Now, Hezekiah didn't promise them an abundance. He just commanded them to do it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I'm not going to promise you any abundance like people do on television, you know, but I'm just going to encourage you to give. It's up to the Lord what he is going to do, because he's the one that can find out the measure of what you gave. I don't know that, but the Lord knows the measure. And by the measure that you meet, you know, he will meet it back to you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, now if you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
That's right. From the time they began to give and began to do the commandment, there was an abundance and they were able to bring leftovers and created heaps. You have to read the whole chapter, but I don't have time to read it. Heaps. Why? Because they began to do the commandment. They began to give. So that's how I'm going to leave it to you, you know, and so forth. Like, read the story, look at it, and so forth. And then see, you know, but let me now go back and finish it all by asking us the question which we started with. The treasure. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? You know, if your treasure is there, your heart will be there. You can also put it in a corollary and say, if your heart is there, treasure may be there. But Jesus didn't say it that way. Some people say, well, you know, well, my heart is not in it. That's why I didn't give to the thing, to the cause that they are doing. But Jesus didn't say it like that. Jesus said, if you gave to it, your heart will be there. Amen, folks? That's what he said. You know, so if your heart is not really in the ministry, start giving to the ministry. Then your heart will be in it. Because now you are putting your treasure there and your heart will be there. Praise the name of the Lord. It could be giving money. It could be giving of your time. It could be giving of yourself. It could be giving whatever. When you begin to give something that is treasurable to you, your heart will be in that thing. Don't wait until it's the other way around. Like people, most people say, well, my heart wasn't in it, that's why I didn't do it. Well, that's not the way Jesus said it. So let's get an understanding about that this morning. I'd like us to stand to our feet. Praise the name of the Lord. If you understand that, let's put our hands together for the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know it may not be one of our more excitable messages where we preach and so forth, but you'll be here next week by the grace of God. Next week will be our consecration weekend, and we will have a service here on Friday evening at 7 p.m. to start our consecration. That will be May 31st. And on Sunday, a week from today, by the grace of God, we are going to have a different kind of service. And I have been already even praying and seeking the Lord, and I believe we will be having a different kind of service, but it's going to be a miracle service as well. God's going to do something spectacular for you next Sunday. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
But this Sunday is a little bit different. Different message, different time. God calls for these things. You know, that's the way he called for it. You know, so that was today's message. Maybe a little different, not the excitable one and so forth. I could have preached this message and got everybody jumping up if I said that, you know, you will bring this money, God's going to bless you and pour you a blessing and make the windows of heaven and all these things. Everybody will jump up and down. You know, that's the kind of message that makes you jump up and down. But I gave you the truth. Praise you the name of the Lord. That's right. You know, and you walk with the truth will never fail. Because his truth endureth to all generations. Now lift up your hands if you are here this morning. You know, I gave you the truth by the word of the Lord concerning putting your treasure in the right place and letting your heart follow. And now, I will ask you though to think about your offering that you will give this morning. And from this day forward as well. Next time we call for the offering, don't just give offering. Just like that. You just walk up, you dance to the music and give. No. Think about it. You know, first of all, don't give an offering of convenience to the Lord. It has to pinch you a little bit. You know, that's how God will give the measure. Especially for the building project that we are asking people to help us. Give where it pinches you a little bit and see what God will do for you. You know, I'm not promising anything. I don't know what it will do. It depends on how God measures it. You know, but for those who have also already given without waiting for a message like this, God bless their hearts. Praise the Lord. Now, we will call for the praise team to come on up, if you would, please. And we will have our regular offering. It's not a special giving just because of the message. You don't have to give anything special. In fact, if you want to give anything special, take your time. Don't even give. Go pray about it. I heard somebody say that 2 weeks ago, and it made a lot of sense. Go pray about it first and see what God will ask you to give. And then come back and give. You know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Or if you have bitterness in your heart against somebody, don't even give. That's scriptural. Take your gift back. Go and clear yourselves with that person first, and then come back and give. Amen. That is what the scripture says. You know, so we're not in a hurry to ask anybody to give, you know, but, you know, God will bless you if you follow his word. We've read you a story. You know, so I am going to pray first. And I will not be praying over the offering. I'm going to pray the prayer before the offering. And then when we start to sing, you can bring your offering at any time. But I won't pray over the offering at the end like we usually do. Today only. So let's lift our hands and pray. I want you to recognize that your offering is an act of worship. And Lord, we bring the sacrifice of praise today to the house of the Lord. And as we bring our offering, Lord, we ask that you receive them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray also, Lord, that you teach us, give us a mind that is teachable, easy to be entreated. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, as we prayed at the beginning, has adorned this message in the hearts of your people. And I pray that we understand how God wants us to give. Now, therefore, ye people, bless the Lord your God. with your worship and with your offering. And I will choose this song. We bring the sacrifice of praise. That's the song I want us to sing as the people give their offering. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord.